I'm talking about astronomical ideas that were almost correct. What I really want to express to people is the human side of astronomy. Astronomy is not about stars. Astronomy is about people looking at stars. People making mistakes in their understanding, but the incredible insights that come exactly from making mistakes. Because that same message of how God loves us even though we're sinners, we should honor astronomers even when they get it wrong. Because we're all going to be wrong. Anyone who's never made a mistake has never made any progress. At the end of the day, what I really hope people walk out, whether they're astronomers or not, with the message is don't be afraid of your mistakes. Embrace them, recognize them, learn from them, and forgive them. And forgive the mistakes of people around you, because that's how they're learning.
Can you give us a little peak example?
There was a wonderful astronomer, Schiaparelli, in the 19th century, an Italian. He was famous for three things. He was the first person to really carefully measure the rate at which Mercury spins, and turns out he got it wrong. And he got it wrong for a really bizarre and wonderful reason that he could not possibly have known. He was the one who was convinced that there were canals on Mars. Got it wrong. And he was the one who realized that streams and showers of meteors are connected to comets. And where we now say, the dust come from the comets, he said, the comets are made out of the dust. Exactly backwards. Very clever, brilliant piece of work, and exactly backwards.
And he got it wrong about the canals on Mars. But he didn't have the equipment that we have that show us what Mars is like. Did he think there was water there? Because there is water.
Well, he thought there was water, but the water we're seeing is not the water, the things he was seeing. He saw a beautiful red planet with white caps on the north and south pole, and the caps shrink and grow, and the colors on the planet change as the caps shrink and grow. He thought it was water fertilizing the deserts. In fact, it's carbon dioxide, dry ice, that's blowing off the dust. His observations were correct. His interpretations were wrong. But what was even more important, he was asking the right questions. Before him, before Angelo Secchi, the other Italian who was a Jesuit, before these people, nobody thought of Mars as a place. They thought of it as a dot of light in the sky. They thought astronomers should measure where this dot of light was. And they go, no, this is a place. It's a place, ultimately, where human beings can go and have adventures. Science fiction came out of this work, and all the dreams of the 20th and 21st century have come out of asking these questions. Who cares if they got the answers wrong? You'll get the right answers eventually. It's coming up with the questions that matter. Mars is not the only place that's surprising us, though. Just this month, we're finally getting the release of a cosmology experiment called the Planck satellite, which is giving us all sorts of incredible surprises about the shape and fabric of the universe itself. And we're going to be playing with these data for the next 10, 20 years, trying to figure out what it all means. To my mind, it's phenomenal that we can even ask the question, what happened 13.8 billion years ago? And think that we have some way of reasonably coming up with an answer. But we're also constantly being surprised. It was only 15 years ago that we discovered dark energy, which is, we think, 3/4 of the universe. Who knows what we're going to discover in the next 15 years?
Tell me what dark energy is. I love that word, but it sounds like something out of a Harry Potter film.
Right. Well, here's what I can tell you that we understand about dark energy. Did you get it?
Three seconds of silence was brought to you by an admission of ignorance, which is rare.
Exactly. We don't know. We're in the dark.
So how is it manifest, or how can we even talk about it?
Well, we know it's there because when we tried to see how much the universe has slowed down since its formation, we found out that it hasn't slowed down at all. It's speeded up. And there are now people who have come up with clever ways of poking and prodding. It's like a giant tangle of string, and the trick is to find a little loose end that you can pull on or maybe loop around the other to slowly unravel it. So we're going to be busy doing this for the next 100 years.
You're a Jesuit now out in Castel Gandolfo, and you're doing all this wonderful work. But you have a Pope who is very committed to the poor, to the incarnational Christ looking after the poor, and wants us to be aware of that. What do you think, and how do you think you can serve him in his ministry?
There are two things about that. As a Jesuit, we work with other Jesuits who do work with the poor. They have told us that our intellectual work gives them credibility. We know that their work with the poor gives us the credibility to do the work we do. When I was in Africa working with the poor before I was a Jesuit, I was in the Peace Corps. And one thing I saw was that poor people are just the same as anyone else in their desire to know, who are we? What do we do with these stars? What are they telling us in terms of our background, our hopes, our aspirations? To deny that to somebody is to deny them that humanity. As a Jesuit, the Pope and the members of the observatory both recognize we find God in all things, in the poor, in the creation, in our understanding of the creation. But for the immediate future, I think the biggest gift we can give him, all of us in the world can give him, is the space to be who he is as Pope. We're so busy projecting onto him our hopes and our fears, and the reality is he's not going to save the world, he's not going to cure original sin, and at the end of his papacy, there will still be problems. That's not the measure that we should give of whether he's been a success or not. Instead, has he brought God, Jesus Christ, into our lives? I would really like us to all be able to sort of back off and appreciate who he is, rather than everybody trying to whisper in his ear, do it this way, do it that way.
And of course, that's one of the things you said you've learned when you're studying your cosmos. God has loads and loads of abundant ways of doing things, and even makes good out of mistakes.
And allow him to make his mistakes, and allow us to make our mistakes, but also allow us to admit and move on.